Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Oliver. Good morning. It is Cynthia Oliver. I am your co-host today. Our fearless leader, Dr. Bessie Fletcher, has the day off, and so she's off on God's business. She is getting ready for an event, and so she is not with us today, but you have myself and you have Cynthia Oliver, Dean of Education of the Mother and Daughter Bible College, and you have Deborah Tyler, who is one of the, first of all, she's on our board, the Mother and Daughter Global Movement and Faith Trust Ministry. She's part of our board for Matriarch Now Community, and she is one of our community partners. Just was down there in South Florida last week with Deborah, and we attended a luncheon at the prison where we were honored for the work that we do with the women and mothers and daughters in prison. So that was a great event. And like always, life goes on, and here we are now, another Saturday morning, getting ready to give you an amazing word from God. But before we do that, and the title, I'm going to bring Deborah Tyler on. Deborah, are you there?
Yes, good morning. I'm here.
Yay, good morning.
Good morning.
If you would, go ahead and do the prayer for me, and then we will get into the topic and what we're going to talk about today.
Okay, thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we say thank you. We come to you to give you praise, to give you honor for all that you've done through us, to us, for us. We just thank you because sometimes we don't always get it right. Thank you for being patient and kind and gentle with us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for this opportunity today to take care of this assignment in the absence of Dr. B. We thank that she allowed us to come and give a word. She trusted us. So we thank you, Lord, for the favor. We love you. We adore you. Have your way now, Lord. Do what only you can do is move, direct, heal, and comfort the hearts of the people. And let us be a mouthpiece, not being exempt from the message, but being a hearer and a doer thereafter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And you guys who are with us on Saturdays, you know how we do it. We also have a guest. We also have a guest, Michelle Chang Cole. She is also part of our organization. She is an ambassador of the Mother and Daughter Global Movement. And hopefully she's going to join us this morning. Michelle, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
No problem. Good morning, ladies. What a blessed Saturday.
Yes, ma'am. Michelle is also one of our graduating students from the Mother and Daughter Bible College. She is my intern this for the last two terms, and she is doing amazing work when I need her to accomplish a task, and she is just a blessing to be part of our organization and everything that we do. She is also one of our community partners in South Florida, and so we just love her because she is so amazing. Thank you for joining us this morning, Michelle. And tell us, how was your week last week?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. You know, you're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Well, last week, the enemy was trying to attack me big time, but he wasn't going to succeed. As you know, I had some really serious migraine headaches, tension headaches that were happening. Couldn't get rid of them. Went for a CAT scan, thank God, everything came back negative. then the medication that the doctor gave me, I broke out in hives. But you know what? That didn't stop me one bit. I kept on going because you're not going to keep this girl down, that's for sure.
That's the one thing we love about you, Michelle. You let nothing stop you. That's what I'm talking about.
I try. You know what? You can't be miserable. You cannot be miserable.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Ladies and ladies, mothers and daughters, you're going to be blessed today to have these comments from not only myself, but Deborah and Michelle, all women of God, all trusting God in it. And so with that, Deborah, how was your week?
My week was, you know, I was thinking when you asked Michelle, I said, I know she's coming to me next, so how was my week? I tell you, I worked from the house one day. I was out sick Monday, so I didn't work from the house, but I was in the house. And then I was restricted for a few days because I ran out of gas. And for the people who don't know, we had not a gas shortage, but we had a problem with the infrastructure, and so they couldn't get the gas based on that flood they had. And so I was, I got the chance to sit in somebody else's car. And that is such a blessing not to be behind the steering wheel. That is like stress-free, sitting on the passenger side. And so I just had a smooth, short, catered 2 weeks, put it that way.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it took you to run out of gas for you to get chauffeured. I like it.
I almost didn't want to get gas.
Deborah, you should have called me. I would have picked you up.
And how was your week?
My week was good. My week was good. It was productive. I didn't accomplish what I wanted to accomplish. For those who don't know, I'm working on my dissertation, which is a trip in itself. So that's a long story. It'll take us a couple of hours to talk about the riffraff with doing that task, but it's okay. I'm like you and Michelle, I'm gonna keep going. It ain't nothing gonna stop it. You know, I'm gonna do my part and trust God for the rest. So it was productive. I didn't get done what I thought I should have gotten done, but Michelle, that's an inside joke between Michelle and I. Michelle is my intern, so I just had her convert a document to a Word document so I can have ease at working on a table that was giving me trouble. So it's going to be even better when I get back to it later today. But all is well. I really had a productive week despite the fact that I thought I should have gotten further, and I did not. But it's okay. We're going to keep it going anyway. All is well. Thank God for God's mercy on us this past week. We're all here. We still did what we needed to do despite the obstacles that we had. So all is well. And so with that, we're going to get into our topic for today. The topic for today, mothers and daughters, mothers, what kind of fruit are you producing in your daughters? This was a devotion that I had on the 20th of this week, on Tuesday. I think it was on a Tuesday. But nevertheless, it was such a good topic when Dr. Fletcher asked me to do the host the radio show this today. I immediately, that's what came to my mind. You know, we need to know what that looks like. And mothers, believe it or not, we have a responsibility, and whatever fruits is brewing in us, unfortunately, our daughters are the product, the byproduct of your fruits. And so we're going to get into this conversation, and because some of the toughest kind of waiting occurs when we're in a rush and God is not to change the people in our lives. Instead of us working on changing us, we ask God to change the people in our lives and even our daughters. And so when God is not in a rush and you're in a rush for him to just snap his fingers and change her, he's wanting you to change you, and so you can accept her and be patient with her. And so we're going to talk about what those fruits look like, what the fruits of the Spirit is. And we're going to go around the room, Deborah and Michelle. And as I bring in the subject matters with different aspects of the topic, I'll ask you, what do you think about that particular entity of the conversation, and you guys can chime in. All right, I don't see your hands up, but I will appoint you to share if that's okay with you guys.
Yes,
sounds good.
Okay, and so when I saw this topic, I was really intrigued with the fruits of the Spirit. And so before we get started, let me just give you Galatians 5:22. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce the kind of fruit in us that God. That's found in the Word of God: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So those are the fruits of the Spirit that we're talking about this morning. And so when we are learning to be patient, it is evident, and it's an evidence of our faith, and it's a test of our faith. So when we are impatient with our daughters, then we're failing the test. When we are impatient with the people that God put in our lives, we are, our test, our faith is being tested. We have a way of wanting God to change people in our lives, but not change us. That's the interesting thing about prayer. We constantly go to God about other people, but we don't ask God to change us. So how you wait on God determines if we learn the lesson of faith. Anybody want to chime in on that?
I'll go ahead. I have a 17-year-old daughter, and there's been some trying times with her. But you know what? I think me having that's one of my Bible verses. That's my life verse. Is the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23. I try to live by that, to be loving, joy, having peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That to me is very important in the things and the aspects that I do, and I believe my children, as I live an everyday life, they see it. Going to work every day, having to be a mom, a wife, a sister, a daughter, a mother, they see me not giving up and having the love of Christ in my heart, especially these last 2 weeks of going through all of these medical ailments and not knowing what was going on. I didn't lose hope, let's put it that way. And they saw that. They didn't see me just sleeping in the bed or having the medication take me down. They saw me just going and still doing what I needed to do for Christ. I still went to work. I still took my son to school. And I think with them seeing that, they know that they don't have to come to me and say, Mom, I don't feel good. That's not a word that we use in our household. I don't feel good. Because we try to remember what Christ did to us, what he did for us so we can have salvation. And those 40 lashes that he took was more than anybody could ever bear. So I look at that and think, you know what, having that patience and that love, my kids see that and they do the best possible that they can do. My going aside now, my daughter has a 4.9 GPA average, and she's going to the university. Yes, she's going to the University of Florida because she had that love for Christ all through her years of high school, and she's getting a scholarship from them. It's amazing. Amen. What God has done and her perseverance. So she's producing fruit right now. So I see that coming through with my daughter. I got to work on my son. He's only 9, but we'll get there.
Amen. 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 Thank you for sharing, Michelle. And so with that being said, you know, we have to, when we're going through, when we are pressured with life and we're not feeling good ourselves, if you will, you use that word, and sometimes we have to be still and know that God is God, and it comes through and how that comes through is how you deal with your loved ones around you when you're not feeling good, because that's how they see the fruits of the Spirit working in you when you are not going off the rails, when life is happening. And if we don't teach our children not to be overly excited when life happens, or when we are struggling to be in this thing called life because we're not feeling good, those, believe it or not, that's part of the fruits, where you learn to just, even though you're not doing well, you still can be kind to people. Even though you are struggling to be okay, you still have to do what you need to do. And that's how your young people know, your daughter's going to know, that you are doing what you need to do in spite of life happenings. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. That is the control of and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us, even though we are under the weather, if you will. And so Paul tells us this. He says this about the fruits of the Spirit, and it's okay that we are challenged in certain areas of the fruits of the Spirit. I went through the list, and I determined that I have to work, there's some that I feel that I'm pretty good on, but then there's three of them that I've got to do a lot of work on. I'm determined to have the joy of the Lord. Patience. When I'm walking around here, I don't have any daughters. I have sons and a husband. I lose my patience with my husband. I'm not as gentle as I don't know if I even want to be gentle like that. So I'm going to just keep it real. I don't know if I even have that in me to have that gentle spirit. You know, we all have different personalities. And so that gentle thing, it's not really part of my makeup. And so I'm like a drill sergeant a lot of times. And Dr. Fletcher and a lot of the people around me, they say I'm like a pit bull, and I am. So I don't even have that part of my personality. But I am really, really working on it. And Paul said in Philippians 3:12, not that I have already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal of being, of having all of the fruits of the Spirit, you know, line up, but I'm still working on it. But I press on to take hold of which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He took hold of me. He has given me his spirit. And so because I have his spirit in me, I have what I need to get to all of these and to master all of these. But whether it'll happen or not, that's on me. And that's how you know, when you're challenged, when life is coming at you, that's how you know that you're developing the spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, because you're able to be calm, you're able to be kind, you're able to be patient even when life is coming at you, you know. And so it's just Paul confessing in verse 13 also. He's in Philippians 3:13, and he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. And it is the fruits of the Spirit that we're talking about. But he said, one thing I do, forgetting what behind and straining towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenly forward in Christ. And so when we as mothers, you have to know that when we're struggling to be okay, we have to push through in Christ, not in our own fleshly spirit, because we're going to come across less gentle than we should be with people. We're going to come across less patient with people, and we're not going to demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit when we're stressed if we don't do it in Christ. Deborah, you want to chime in on this?
Yeah, I tell you, you just brought back an incident that I had, I believe, yesterday, and it was an incident where I was speaking with somebody, and they, frankly, they had almost set the building on fire in the middle of the night, and then they sleeping in the area where we do business. So I go to work, I say, hey, what are you doing? Will you go to your room? And, you know, and so I was I was easy. Then as it went on, it got a little rough, just a little rough. And I realized later, you could have did it a little better. It just could have been a little better. And so I thank God, because He allows me to see me. And then when you got that Holy Spirit inside of you, letting you know, convicting you, and saying, hey, repent, you went overboard, or you could have did it better. And there's a saying that I try to practice, and like you say, to always get it right, pressing towards the mark and running the race, you know, and pressing is a, you know, press in, I-N-G, is a continuation of something. It's not I press and I'm finished. It's not, you know what I mean, press in. And so the saying is, say what you mean what you say, but you don't have to say it mean. And so I'm working on my delivery, meaning what I said, I meant what I said. You know, I don't have any kids to say, you heard what I said, I meant, you know. But I remember Mama saying that you know, I meant what I said, if this house ain't clean. She said it in a way, she had to say it loud. She said it in a way that you got the message, you know. And so what I'm just saying, you know, just work, polish it up. Let me polish it up. You don't mean no harm, and you got a good heart. You know, you come off a little rough sometime around the edges. Let me polish you up. Bring it to me, you know, or confess that you got that issue. He said, hey, I can't do nothing with it if you act like you don't have a problem. He said, I'm a problem solver. He said, you talking about I ain't got no problem. I said what I said. No. Lord, I got a problem.
Tell Amen.
Me to say it in a way that I would want people to say it to me.
Absolutely,
so that's that gentleness. Talking about the spirit, through the spirit, that's the gentleness, being gentle, and still
Amen.
Doing your job, being gentle.
Absolutely. And you know, I watched the Chosen for the first time on the bus coming back from South Florida. I watched the entire first season, and there's an episode, I think it's the seventh episode, where Jesus is dealing with in part of the disciples. There was Big John and Little John, and so Little John comes across real rough when he talks to you. And so there's a scene where Jesus asked the guy he was talking to prior to the sending in his servant James. And so James and Jesus is in there, and Jesus is trying to come across with the point of him changing his delivery of how he deals with people. And so they've been in the room for a couple of minutes, and then somebody is yelling from the outside, "Are you guys finished? Are you guys?" And little James, he's just rough around the edges, as you said, Deborah. And Jesus just looks at him, because Jesus had been telling him throughout that particular episode that he's been trying to show him how to be gentle when he's saying things to people. So Jesus just looks at him when he comes across so rough, when the person keeps yelling from the outside, and he just looks at him and he changes his tone. No, not yet. After he had barked at him a couple of times about we're busy or something like that. And so, you know, well, sometimes we just need to be reminded. Sometimes we just need to be reminded that we're being rough. Because if it's part of our natural makeup, obviously that's who he is, and that's who I am. You know, sometimes you just have to be reminded. And Paul tells us in Philippians 3:15, all of us then, if we are mature, should take such a view of things as the fruits of the Spirit. We should be reminded of the Spirit and then change how we are dealing with the person before us. And then the latter part of 15 says this, and if on some point you think differently, that to God will make clear. If you are not sure of what areas you need to work on, what this scripture is saying, you need to ask God, because he will make it clear on what you need to be doing in order to move towards the fruits of the Spirit. And then 16 goes on and it says, only let us live to what we have already obtained. In other words, we can only live and do what we already done until we learn the new way. And now that you know the fruits of the Spirit, we as mature Christians, we're supposed to be moving in that direction when we deal with people. Michelle, do you want to chime in on this before I go on?
Well, you know, yeah, I wanted to say something hit heart. A pastor of mine had said something
our lives become fruitless. If we don't do daily surrender or daily communion or just, you know, daily repentance, and if we're not walking in the Spirit and we fulfill the lust of the flesh, we're not going to keep growing. We have to. I strongly believe that we have to surrender some of our faults. If one of my faults is not being gentle, then I need to go to God and say, hey, God, you know, let me be a little bit more gentle. Let me have more self-control over things. Let me have the patience I need to continue this day. It's like what, you know, Christ said, that the branch draws strength and nourishment and protection and the energy from divine. And if it's broken off, it quickly dies. So we've got to remember not to be unfruitful. We have to remember that we have to be our fruit, not be unfruitful.
Amen. Amen. And you know, the writer, as I read the text on the 20th, he challenges us and he asks this question: how many times have you strayed from God, given in to temptation, and been distracted by the things in your life? And so I love every day. But we don't, you know what? But, you know, I keep it real with Heavenly Father. I even say sometimes, Father God, I don't even know if I want to be gentle. I that's the kind of conversation I have with God. I really do, because I'm just like, that baby and sometimes baby and my husband, and I was like, I don't want to be gentle, Daddy. And so guess what? God ain't gonna force you to be gentle, but it's part of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. So if I'm gonna be gentle with other people, I need to learn to be gentle with my husband. It's plain and simple. But I just I'm like a bulldog up in here, man. I have to repent. And I haven't surrendered, because I tell him I don't know if I want to be gentle. So he ain't going to force me to be gentle. But you know what? That kind word and the way you come at people makes a difference. When you're having a conversation with your daughter's mother, how you come at her is how you're going to get it back.
Exactly. Let me just say this, especially with young teenagers, they still want to be babied, in my essence right now. They still want to be babied, but they want to have their independence. So I have to be that mom that, you know what, I'm going to sit back, I'm going to let you talk, you, and give you the floor. And if I don't give her that respect, how is she going to learn how to give respect?
Oh, I like that. That's good. That's good stuff. Deborah, you want to chime in before I go on?
No, go ahead. I'm letting that sit. Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you.
And so with that being said, mothers and daughters, we will stumble. We will stumble again and again before we get it right. So don't beat yourself up about your personality and what you've done and how you've done it in the past. All you got to do is have a desire to change it for the future. You ain't got to, Paul told us, not that I have accomplished all these things, but if you want to be in Christ and be like Christ, you have to work at it. God knows us and our tendencies, which leads to our shortcomings. So he already knows his children, but he is ready to forgive us. He is ready to forgive us when we ask. Again and again, if we confess our sin and allow his Spirit to transform us, we can forgive our children when they mess up, because guess what? God forgives us every time we mess up. Paul, too, knew and it's all part of the journey. He said it's all part of the journey. And I, too, struggle with the fruits of the Spirit. He says in the Word, he says that he lets us know that he had not accomplished all of the fruits of the Spirit when he wrote this. But he just keep pressing. As Deborah said, ing, pressing. It's not that he pressed one time and was done. No, he's pressing towards the mark. He's pressing towards becoming more and more like Jesus. Paul, fully aware of his sinful past and current weaknesses, he knew he had yet to obtain the Christ-likeness that he desired. Philippians 3:12, Paul said, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things. He keeps telling us. He lets us know We will mess up over and over. We will mess up. He says, I have not reached it, but I keep pressing. But I keep working towards it. I keep working towards it. That day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. God wants us to have the fruits of the Spirit, mothers and daughters. But again, in 13, he comes back and said, no, brothers and sisters, I should be focusing all of my energies on the things to come, forgetting the things of the past. So what am I saying, mothers and daughters? You don't have to beat yourself up. Have you done it in the past? You just have to change it how you're doing it in the future. And that's the pressing part. You got to press towards the mark. The mark is to be gentle. The mark is to be patient. The mark is to have that joy of the Lord. That's one of my biggest desires. I desire to have the joy of the Lord. And when you have joy, all of these other things, I think, just come so easy. I know two women that's been part of our organization with regards to being the community partners in South Florida, Mama Ross and Mama Ann. They're part of the Broward County Business Association. And so these women, I have always admired how gentle they are, how joyful they are. No matter when you call these two women, they're fantastic. And I just love the energy that they have. They bring another energy to the room. They reach way beyond life happenings, and they bring the joy of the Lord in the room whenever they show up. And that's the one that I really, really desire. I really desire to have the joy of the Lord, because I really think that once I can just be in joy no matter what's going on around me, that the other ones will follow. The question is, how will you finish the race? So, mothers and daughters, I challenge you today. I ask you today, what will you do? How will you finish the race? Because we have already said it, we will continue to stumble in this thing called life. When we're dealing with people, when we're dealing with our daughters, we ourselves have to be encouraged despite our past messing up, of not being as gentle and not being as kind as we can be. His grace enables us to press on despite the failures of the past. His forgiveness gives us the power so we can hold our heads up after we've messed up. So how much more will we be effective in our lives of our daughters and our children when we can give them the permission to hold their head up when they mess up? The Holy Spirit is in the business of refining us. God's desire for his children is that they learn to get up when they fall. With that being said, children do not need to be kicked when they're down, but need the help so they can get back up and keep moving forward. You are the mothers. You are supposed to have more patience. You are the mother. You're supposed to show them the way. You're supposed to show them how to get up when they fall and keep moving forward. Just like a baby, they learn to walk by falling. We learn to move forward in Christ by failing in areas. Michelle, you want to share on that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, what you just said, we are to bring our children up. When you said that, I was thinking, oh my gosh, you know how many times when you yell at your kids because you're so stressed out, and you think about when you're yelling at your children, and then you see their little faces and they cry. And you're like, why did I do that? You can't beat yourself up, people. You can't, because we are human, and that's a flesh. That was a flesh emotion that came up because of being frustrated of something that's going on. But, you know, you have to look back at the things that you've done in the past in your own personal experience and realize, you know what, I was not perfect. But I'm not saying that I want my children to be perfect, but I want them to succeed because they are the future. They are God's children, and he put them on this earth for a reason, and he made them our responsibility. He said, hey, you know what, you, Michelle, you're going to be the mother of these two children, and I'm keeping my kids in your care until I'm ready for them. So when he puts that big responsibility on me, I have to do the best possible job for Christ to let these kids first get a good education and grow up in Christ. I got both of my kids in a Christian school. It's not cheap, but you know what? That's where they need to be right now because of all of the things that you hear going on in this world. We need our children to grow up with the love of Christ, to know
Amen.
That everybody is equal. There is nobody different because of our skin colors or race or anything like that. You know what? If I press on and give the love that God has given me to others, I am going to succeed. And that's what I want my children to know. I'm not talking about
Amen.
Financial. That's going to come. But once you can respect other human beings because of who they are and where they are and just show that love of God, people are going to say, I want what they have. Because
Amen.
The aura that you're going to represent is going to be so different that people don't understand what you're doing. And they're like, I want what Michelle has. I want what her kids have. Because you know what we have? We have the love of Christ. And we're
Amen.
Going to show it to
Amen.
Everybody.
Amen. And mothers, you don't have to beat yourself up. We're not beating you up. We're not condemning you. We're here to help you understand. Just like you go to Father God and ask for forgiveness, you go to your children and you apologize and you ask them forgive you for yelling at them or making because I always tell mm-hmm. my kids, can't nobody make you feel no kind of certain way, but words cut deep. And so it's their perception of how you came at them and what you said that took them to that place that Michelle was talking about where they were in tears. So something you said at that moment cut to the core. And so just like you would go to the Heavenly Father and ask him for forgiveness, you can go to your children and ask them to forgive you. Mommy was stressed. Mommy is so sorry. I'm going to really work on not yelling at you and listen to you more. You know, we have to have this open, and that's what I love about this organization. We teach mothers and daughters, we teach women and girls how to have respect for each other and to listen to each other. Have we got it all right? Absolutely not. Haven't gotten it right yet myself. But I'm telling you, I'm pressing towards the mark that I can arrive at where I need to be in Christ. So the question to you, mothers and daughters, I'm challenging you to take a reflection, introspection of where you are struggling with the fruits of the Spirit. And you don't have to tell anybody. Write it down. Ask yourself, can I do better in this area? Can I do better? The answer to learning how is to have those self-reflections, is to have that introspection, and then determine where you are. You have to determine where you are if you're going to change it. If you yourself can admit that you have an issue, as Deborah said, because God ain't going to make you do nothing. If you don't think you have a problem, therefore there is no problem. Because you're the only person who can really say that I have a problem. Because people can be around you. People can see it every day, all day. And they can even share it with you. But until you see it, it does not exist. It is found in your relationship with Christ that you will want to walk up in him. If you are not in Christ, you will not walk in his footsteps. And his footsteps consist of how he lived. And if you're not living how he lived, if you don't have the fruits of the Spirit and dealing with people like he had the patience to deal with people, guess what? That's not your priority. And guess what? Our Heavenly Father ain't even mad at you because you got a choice. He ain't going to make you do nothing. So do you seek to walk? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Do I seek to walk in such a way that will please him? And how do you learn to walk in the ways of God? I call it God's university. It don't have to be a formal education. It just has to be self-study.
Because if you don't know the laws of the word, if you don't know the fruits of the Spirit and the full explanation of the fruits of the Spirit, then you can't walk in something you don't know. You have to be willing to study to show yourself approved, because that's when you start to change, when you learn something new. If your way of dealing with people is barking at them and that's all you know, that's how you're going to do it. Deborah, you want to chime in here?
Yeah, two things. When you was talking about Apostle Paul and him pressing, and so the illustration I wanted to use was when Paul was Saul was killing Christians. He thought he was doing God a favor because he had the misconception of what he was supposed to be doing and what he thought they were supposed to be doing. Anyway, he went from being aggressive to killing people to going to being Paul and learning how to be gentle. That was a transformation, that there was a transition. He went from being angry to killing to the extremes, taking lives to saving lives, and to being meek and humble. And he didn't get it overnight. Like he said, I'm pressing. He coming from killing to healing, to speaking, encouraging, and inspiring people, you know, teaching people, loving people, forgiving people, you know. It was a transition. And that's where we get it. Christians sometimes thinking, once you say, Lord, I believe, confess in my heart, that Jesus Christ died and rose, and we saved, and now that we're going to walk like that with Jesus every day. It's a transition. It's renewing of the mind. How you think, or somebody cut you off. So if your mindset on evil for evil, then you follow that. But when you start learning the word and washing your mind with the word, you start saying, you know what, maybe they're having a bad day. I'm not going to entertain that. I'm not going to go behind them. I don't need no extra trouble, because you follow people these days and they don't even know what they got in the car and whatever. Just, Lord, give me peace right now. I'm just upset you cut me off, but help me get back on track. Help me focus. It's a transitional phase. We don't always get it. And then I want to hit this point when you was talking about the kids. And the Bible talks about in Ephesians 6 and 4, it's an amplified Bible. It's simple, but it really breaks it down. It says, Father, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment. Like, yo, God is saying, hey, don't make them hate you and want to be moving out as soon as they graduate. Don't make them hate you and don't never want to come back. Don't make them hate you and go to 3-5 states over. Don't make them hate you. He said, because you can be pushy too much. He said, don't make them hate, resent you with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism, here we go, or indifference to any of them. You know how you love one more than you love the other. Sometimes we say, I love them equally, but there's a little bit, you know, but bring them up tenderly with love and kindness and the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So he broke it down right there. I've never seen it like that. So he's saying, don't push them to resentment, because too much of the, because, you know, they like Michelle said, get to a point where they want to be self-sufficient, independent, still living under your roof, still, you know, sucking up your AC and drinking your milk and all that, still can't pay no bills, but they want to be. And so there's a transition. There's a gradual releasing of, like, hey, okay, now, you know, I see that you're doing good in school. Okay, so you can take the car for the weekend. Okay, or I see that you, okay, a little bit. Still showing responsibility. Now, you got a little job. I need you to give me $50 on the LPL. A little bit. Not pay the whole bill. It ease them into it, because they're going from, didn't have to do nothing. Did they have to clean? They have to do nothing but go to school, take a bath, go to school. Now I want you to clean your room, clean the house. And it's transitional. You ease them into it. Because it can be shocking from the corner, not doing nothing, to now I need you to be responsible. It's not easy being grown. And they run to be grown, but when they get all them bills, they don't want to be grown no more. So it's a transition. Ease them into it.
Absolutely. Exactly. You know what? You know, sometimes we can push our children to the point of no return. And my husband is dealing with our grandson right now, and he is so angry with his mother and his father that he has been in some legal trouble for the last couple of years. And his father, my husband asked him a couple of days ago, had he talked to his mother and his father? He said he don't talk to either one of them. And so he's at a point where he resents his father because he sees that his father cares more for the older child than he do for him. Children are not stupid. Children see, or they perceive that when we treat them equally, but children can see, a person can see when you favor someone else. And then all you got to do is think about Joseph in the Bible and being that last child and how the father favored him and how he brought wrath between him and his siblings because daddy favored this last child. And to the point where they wanted to kill him. But thank God they had somebody who had a level head and out of the 10, because he was the 11th child out of the 10. They said, Benjamin was like, we can't kill him. But they sold him off he was a slave for years, because they sold him off into slavery because they hated him so much because the father favored him. Parents, you had to be careful how you treat your children around each other, because they're not stupid. They see how you treat them, or they perceive how you treat them and how you treat the other one. If you're constantly buying for this one or doing for this one and neglecting to do for the other, children see this. And you have to know your siblings talk to them, even if they don't like each other. And they talk and they tell each other what mommy and daddy do for them. And so I'm going to get back to the Bible because I'm a little off track here, but the book of Philippians was written from a jail cell. And a lot of times, my grandson has been to jail. He has so much resentment for his parents. He do some stupid stuff because negative attention is better than no attention. He's going to get some attention. And it's not the attention you want for your children when they end up in jail because of all the resentment that they have, so they're just out there doing crazy stuff. So you and we are responsible for how we treat our children. We are responsible for the fruits of the Spirit with regards to teaching them how to love, how to be. And when we fail to do that, we don't know where our children are going to end up. We don't know where they're going to end up. And we are responsible for the lives of our children, not the world. We are responsible. God is holding us responsible for our children. Paul in Philippians 1:21, in all that I did, he said, he now stands and confess his wrongdoing. For to me, to live, he says, it is in Christ, and to die is his gain. Can you say that about you? Can you say that if your child died out there, that he would have a home with Christ? Did you teach them anything about God when they were out there struggling? And when you were struggling? If we never introduce our children to the fruits of the Spirit, more than likely, they may go through this whole world not even knowing what the fruits of the Spirit is. If you're not moving them in the direction that God would move you, then we're not doing our jobs, mothers. Michelle, you want to chime in?
I'm going to piggyback on something you said, you know. We are the ones who have to show our kids. If we don't, and you can't show favoritism. Maybe that's why God gave me two children, one with an eight-year span, because each one of them had their own set of special interests that I was able to give them my time at that time for them. But you know what? When I look at both of my children and I look at them equally, I love them equally. I can't say I love my son more than my daughter,
because they're both unique in their own special ways. And God has given them both talents that we as parents, we have to let them grow within them. And I think that's where parents have to be. You just can't be judgmental on your kids so much. Yes, we want them to do well. We don't want them to get in trouble. We don't want them to do wrong, but they're going to fall short. And but when they do fall short and they do skin that knee, we have to go to them. And we reprimand them and we tell them, we talk to them what they did wrong. But that's the thing, parents, we have to talk to our children, not just scold them and yell at them, but if they do go break the rules, we have to tell them and let them understand why they broke the rules. Why did you go ahead and do something that you weren't supposed to do? What tempted you to do that? Don't talk to them and try to understand where it is. How are we going to help them and how are they going to grow as they get older?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Deborah, you want to chime in there?
Yeah, I think y'all doing an excellent job. I tell you, Michelle, I'm just loving having you on here today and bringing it from a daughter and a son. You know, like Cynthia said, she only have boys, and I don't have any kids. So this is a unique combination going on here. You know, being in the ministry and working with the youth, God has gave me something that I got that I'm not a parent. I'm an auntie, and I, you know, go like that. But I go from when I was a child, the things I went through. And so I just like the combination today. And I just want to say that more than anything, when it all boils down, we all are human. And
yes,
we all want to be talked to a certain type of way, whether they 5 or they 50 or 25 or whatever. We all got that little spark of sensitivity. You know, I don't care what you say, feelings or words don't hurt. Yeah, lies, words hurt because they go deep. The Bible talks about that tongue. Oh, boy, what great fire it starts, you know. And God is saying that you can't tame it. You need me to tame it. And so there's a scripture in Psalms, I believe 141, verse 3 says, Lord, put a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips so that I don't sin against thee. So he said, when we do wrong against people, we sin against him. And so he lets us see how bad the mouth, the tongue is, that he got to put a guard over it and then watch the guard. So I say, my God, that's got to be, you're going to set a guard over it. He sets a guard over your mouth and then keep watch over the doors of my lips. And I just let them know that words are important regardless who we're talking to, more so when we're talking to the younger ones, because we can be a bit of, like we say, we the parent, you do what I say. And we come off like with that air, you know, some of us come off with that thing, but remembering that they're human beings first. And if we would just tone it down and put it to where they can receive it, because he clearly says don't provoke your children. He says that for a reason, because we know that parents, it say fathers, but we know that go across the board. Don't provoke them, meaning don't push them, don't push in your anger, don't push them, means too much is nitpicking, you know, like hey, nobody likes that every time. And I have to be like checking myself even on the job. Like I say, it's adult daycare, you know, age 60, 40, all that. But some of the behaviors are very childlike. And then I find myself, don't do this, like that. And then I say, Deborah, you're picking. Draw back a little bit. Even with them, don't provoke them to anger. Even with them, they're like grown children, I promise you. And so I just thank God for this opportunity, because I want to go back and hear this message, so it can encourage me to continue to be mindful of, you know, dealing with people, not pushing them and provoking them to evil and not showing favoritism. Because I do on the job, I try to be incognito with it, down low, slide this with a, you know, a cheeseburger. You know, I always say, hey, come on, you know, like that, because that God does so much, go over and beyond, and I will let him appreciate it. But, yeah, so we're like, you can't show favoritism where other people see it.
Absolutely.
But anyway, I want to know.
Even with adults, you can't show favoritism because they end up having an ult against the person that you're showing the favoritism to. You know, because we are like little kids. And we are, and looking at how big God is, we ain't nothing but some kids. And how we continue to mess up and continue to mess up, we're kids at heart. And until you reach the point where you're determined to live like God would have us to live and with the fruits of the Spirit, we are immature. And so therefore we are childlike. And so when we come across and we're talking to people like we're crazy, it's like profanity. We live in a society where purity is rejected as hopeless, old-fashioned, and vulgar and mean words are accepted. It has become a norm in this thing called life. And then you can see it. It's from entertainment to literature. In the hallways of our schools, we see how people talk to our children. We see how we talk to our children, and we don't think anything is wrong with it. But we are pushing our children to resent. We are pushing our children to be mean to other children when we're mean to them. That's where all this bullying has come from. Bullying comes from when a child has been mistreated in his home. It often starts in the home. And so they, and in school, they find that little meager person that they can take control over. They're doing exactly to what has been done to them in their home. And so, and this has become the norm in the hallways of our schools. Christian says, Paul, are to fill their minds. Christianity tells us that we are to be like Paul, to fill our minds with pure, good, and noble thoughts. Be on guard against the world assaults on the purity of our own thoughts. As we fill our minds with what is good, our words, too, will show up. It will become our norm. And if we careful with our children in our homes, they will follow suit. If you're kind to your children at home, they will be kind to the children at school and wherever they go.
Yes.
So the question is, who are you living for, mothers? Who are you living for, mothers? If you're not living for Christ, if you're not showing the fruits of the Spirit in your home. Go ahead, Michelle.
No, I totally agree with you. If you don't show it in your home, how are your children going to show it out there? Kindness starts from the home. It starts at home. Christ starts at home. You know, that's what he said. This is my church right here in my house. It starts right here. And if I don't show him what's going, you know, if I don't show my kids that now, I'm going to say this right now. You see my son when he plays flag football and he pulls the flag from another child. And I see it growing in my own kid. And the little boy, the other from the opposing team's crying because my son pulled his flag. My little boy goes up to him and gives him a hug and tells him it's okay. I mean, that is what God wants us to do. I mean, that's starting at 9 years old. I see my 17-year-old when she goes out there and she sees a homeless person. We have love bags in our car. And she'll stop and she'll go make sure that person gets a love bag. It's what you do as parents, as moms. You know, you go out there and you just have to show the love of Christ. Because when you look at anybody else out there, you don't know how Christ looking you in the face. And you just want to be so kind to him.
And so many hurting people in the world. It's just so many. And we have to understand that hurting people hurt people. And that's the big scheme of things. People do what they know. When they don't know better, they can't do better. And so when we are the light in the room, and that's what I loved about watching The Chosen last week. Every room he showed up in, he was the light. And he demonstrated the fruits of the Spirit. And it was a tearjerker for me. Every episode towards the end when they showed the love of Christ, I was in tears because I want to. And so when I tell God that I don't want to be gentle, I probably mean it. But in my heart of hearts, I want to walk in Jesus' footsteps. So if that's part of the fruits of the Spirit, being gentle, then guess what? I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there because I'm determined to press. For we can do all things in Christ who gives us the strength to endure, even when we don't feel like we want to. Our job is just not to give up. Don't give up, mothers and daughters, on being the best mother or being the best daughter that you can be. But it all starts with you knowing Christ. You can't do these things without confessing and accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we invite you right now, mothers and daughters, who's listened to us, to accept Christ in your heart, confess your sins before him, and start to walk in his ways. Because he's waiting for you, mothers. He's waiting for you, daughters, to be the best version of yourself, making him the prize at the end. So, mothers and daughters, before we say goodbye, I question you. Who are you living for? Who are you living for? And with that being said, you guys want to give a last word before we say goodbye.
I said, ladies, when you go out there, you walk in the spirit of the fruit. You teach your kids. You show them the goodness, and you keep persevering. And if there's any obstacles out there that you see, you tell the Lord that you want to open up the doors of success and close the doors of obstacles.
Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for joining me today. Amen. Thank you, mothers and daughters around the world. This has been an amazing conversation, ladies. I appreciate you guys for joining us today. And mothers and daughters, let's chase after Jesus and the fruits of the Spirit. With that, we say, have a great rest of your weekend. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Thank you. Bye, Michelle. Bye, audience. Love you. Bye, Dr. B.